Policing on the cheap, rodents in Garda stations, whistleblowers, drunks, being unable to chase criminals in their souped-up cars, and a no-show by the Justice Minister, Alan Shatter. Just some of the talking points at the opening last evening of the annual conference of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors in Killarney in Kerry. Our reporter, Valerie Cox, joins me now from there. I'll also be talking presently to John Jacob, Deputy General Secretary of the Association. Valerie, first of all, big disappointment, it seems, from the minister's no-show?
Yes, indeed, Sean. Not only that, but also the fact that he didn't send somebody in his stead. And I'm told there was a precedent for a stand-in in 1998 when the Minister for Agriculture replaced the Justice Minister. Now, talking to the delegates, off the record, they're very angry. But when they're asked to go on the record, very cautious. One sergeant said to me, I have 15 years to go to retirement. I'm not jeopardising that. Now, I spoke to the association president, Tim Galvin, and I asked him if the minister had attended, what sort of welcome he could have expected from the delegates.
The minister always gets a cordial welcome. We had our issues with him last year, and because of what happened, the four lads walking off, we had issues afterwards. But we're all, the only time chance we get to meet the minister or to talk to the minister is at our conference. That's where delegates air their issues from year to year. And if he doesn't turn up, that's done away with. Where do we go then to show our feelings about how the service is run? If the minister has no interest in us, what else do we do?
Do you think this has damaged your relationship with the minister?
I hope not, because he's our minister. We have to. He's the man in charge of our organisation. He's the minister with responsibility for the guards. So I hope it doesn't damage it. And I hope that shortly after this conference, he will actually meet us and we'll sit down and discuss the issues. I'm going to hand him a copy of my speech in an effort that he might reply as quickly as possible so the delegates will be informed of what his feelings are.
So that's Tim Galvin there, Valerie, the association president. Now, you've been talking as well to some of the people who will be proposing motions at conference today.
Yes. Now, one of the motions getting most attention concerns whistleblowers. That comes from the Donegal delegation, and Sergeant Jim Collins will propose it this morning.
We're looking to review HQ Circular 105 of 08, which is basically the charter in relation to the whistleblowers as they've become known, or the confidential reporters charter. This came into existence through a statutory instrument in 2007, came into existence as such within an Garda Síochána in 2008. We felt it was timely that this was brought for review. I think, like all policies, they need to be constantly reviewed, and we felt that as a branch that perhaps it needed to be made more robust to, I suppose, encourage more people to become confidential reporters, or as have become known as whistleblowers.
What are your specific concerns?
Main concerns really is, I think it boils down to perception. The perception at the moment is that the protection isn't there. It's just basically to shore up the protection that there is for the confidential reporters and to perhaps bring back a confidence in that position or charter, that people are more willing to make disclosures or whistleblow as such, should that be appropriate.
Yep. Sergeant Antoinette Cunningham, you're going to be responding to this motion this morning. What will you be saying?
We're supporting the motion, Valerie. We think the motion is timely. We think a review is justified in light of recent events. And we think that there are things contained within the charter as it exists currently that are worthy of a review.
What difference do you think it would make to the Gardaí if it was reviewed?
I think we need to establish, first of all, if damage has been done to the concept of confidential reporting within the organisation. And if damage has been done, we need to establish what we can do to repair it. I suppose, Valerie, we have to consider as well the protection of people who do make confidential reports. And one of the primary things that we want to discuss is the fact that we don't want to see anybody who does confidentially report suffering from any victimisation or reprisal in any way. And if that's found to be the case, we want to know what will the organisation to do to protect people who want to make confidential reports.
That should be quite an interesting debate, Valerie. But also another interesting motion, an unusual motion, I suppose you could call it, from Galway concerning the detention of people who are drunk.
Yes, Sean. Now, this is something we mightn't think about at all. Sergeant Ernie White explained the problem.
Everyone knows that a guard has the power to arrest a drunken person. That's fine. However, when we bring that drunken person to a Garda station, we have no power to detain him at the Garda station. So essentially, if I arrest you for being drunk, I bring you to the Garda station. If I keep you there, detain you, I'm acting unlawfully. Yet, if I release you and you walk under a bus outside the station, I owe you a duty of care and I've a problem there. Now, I'm personally aware of a situation where a drunken person was arrested. Unfortunately, he died in Garda custody. And the guards involved have been served with papers from GSOC in relation to abuse of power. So it's a no-win situation. Now, there is a very old 150-year-old Act, 1874 Act, which gives us a possible power to hold the drunken person. But essentially, we don't have one. Now, if the Minister for Justice was here, I'd be asking him to please rectify this situation quickly, because it's something that, like, it's crazy, and it should be addressed, and it hasn't been addressed. And our members, every night of the week, we're doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. We're kind of generally holding on to these people, because to let them out, they'll injure themselves or whatever.
So how could it be changed?
Just enact a small amendment to a Public Order Act. Like, for instance, for a drunken driver, we can hold a drunken driver for up to 6 hours till he sobers up, which makes perfect sense. But public order is a huge problem all over the country. We need a solution, a very easy solution. And we're asking the Minister for Justice, the government, to please address this issue.
So that's Sergeant Ernie White there, Valerie. And also, I suppose, something of a hardy annual, the state of Garda vehicles.
Oh, yes. Now, there's a motion this morning from Sergeant Cormac Boylan from Athlone and formerly of the Traffic Corps. Now, Sean, he paints a pretty dismal picture of the shrinkage of the Traffic Corps staff, and he finds a correlation between the depletion of resources and the increase in the number of deaths on our roads. He gave me some of the figures.
The number of road deaths, in Ireland from 2008 has reduced from 279 road deaths to 262 in 2012. That number increased in 2013 to 190. There's a real human cost to this. There are people's lives at stake. You know, there's an extra 28 people died in 2013 as opposed to 2012. And all our members really want to do, they're trying to do their best. You know, we're the enforcement side of it. And we have always tried to, and we've really put our shoulder to the wheel to reduce the road deaths over the years. And we've done enormous work to get that far. But without the resources, it's impossible to be able to maintain that. And that's what we're calling the Commissioner, is to look at this and maybe properly resources and equip us to be able to continue the downward and the good work that we've done so far.
What sort of resources are you looking for?
It has to be personnel. To get the traffic guard that's out there, that has the best impact and the best visual impact. When someone passes the guard on the side of the road with the speed gun or the traffic corps car that's doing the checkpoint, whatever it is, I would say that an awful lot of the traffic corps members who would be dedicated people in relation to this regard, they're being called in to bump up the numbers of the depleted resources on the regular policing units. So we're probably spreading ourselves too thinly.
And what about your vehicles?
Vehicles aren't fit for purpose, really, in a lot of respects. They're diesel cars, 2 litre diesel cars. They're not high-speed cars. They're not capable of catching some of the more high-powered gangs, that are accessing our country, in the rural areas,
Because the criminals are actually quite careful which cars they steal.
Oh, of course, yes. And they're stealing cars to order because they know that the guards can't catch them.
And that's Sergeant Cormac Boylan from Athlone talking there to Valerie. Thanks for that, Valerie. Now on the line, John Jacob, Deputy General Secretary of the AGSI. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, first of all, are you satisfied with the explanation you've been given for the Minister's absence?
Well, Minister has indicated that he couldn't come for religious reasons and because he has a commitment in abroad tomorrow in Luxembourg, and we have to accept that at face value. We're disappointed. Our delegates are disappointed, and our president did say yesterday that it's our only opportunity to address our concerns to the minister, and we missed that opportunity yesterday.
Now, what about the big talking point about the Gardaí at the moment, or at least one of them, the idea of putting in place a governing structure like a police authority? Is that something now that you've come around to favouring? But how urgent is it in your view?
Well, if I could just clear up something, Sean. it's not something that we've come around to favouring. We promoted this idea about 16 years ago. We brought it to the table and we asked that a police authority would be established. So we were the first organisation to call for that. We were delighted that the Donegal branch brought it to the Clare this year in advance of media and government interest in it, and we will be supporting the motion. I'm reluctant to say we should introduce a police authority immediately, because a knee-jerk reaction often doesn't deliver what it should deliver. And I would caution that we look at models that are existing elsewhere. There is a Northern Ireland Policing Authority, there's a Scottish Policing Authority, you have the Police and Crime Commissioners in the UK, and the method of selection of those people vary across the countries. So we would say, yes, we want a police authority, but we don't want it to be implemented so quickly that it isn't tailored for the needs of Irish policing and Irish society. We're a unique police force. We're policing by consent since we were established, and we would not want to see a model parachuted in on top of us that won't meet our needs, and we just caution.
Are there particular needs that you can identify, John, that aren't being catered for by some of the models that might be under consideration?
Well, I suppose we would be keen that the authority would be independent and would be seen to be independent and would be accountable. And if you look at the UK model, they moved from a policing authority in 2012 to a police and crime commissioner model because there was great concern between the Conservative government and the Liberal Democrats that the authority wasn't accountable. So it's pointless having a body there overseeing the police if they're not accountable.
Accountable to whom, though?
Well, in the UK, they're elected individuals, so they're accountable to the people they serve and the public that they serve. I'm not sure that model will work in Ireland because the nature of policing in England is very different to the nature of policing in Ireland. But we would say that take your time, Minister, when you are implementing this and get the model correct.
Is it your view, for instance, and this has been a bone of contention as between the Garda Ombudsman Commission and the previous Commissioner, Martin Callanan, that the Commissioner and his office or her office should be within the remit of the authority? Well, certainly it would be of the authority, but also an organisation like GSOC.
Well, I think it's only fair that if our members are coming for close scrutiny and examination by GSOC, that some authority would oversee the implementation of police policies at commissioner level. I think it's for the government to decide what model is best. Is it a GSOC or is it a policing authority? Abroad in the UK, the policing authority hold the police, the commissioners there accountable, and perhaps that's the model we should be looking at.
Now, a lot of talk as well about morale in An Garda Síochána. Some of your members saying that they are picking this up from members of the public with all of the controversies that have been going on and so forth. What is your own assessment, John?
Well, Sean, you know, we've been operating with reduced budgets, with reducing numbers and increasing demands over the last number of years. And listening to Cormac Mylan and listening to Ernie White on the Vox Pops there, you appreciate that sometimes our need for resources and our need for legislation and our need for the tools to do our job are not being delivered as quickly and as speedily as they could. And that has to have an impact on morale. But what I will say is that if you look at the service that's been delivered to the people on the street, it's not affecting, while morale might be low, it's not affecting our members' ability to deliver a service. And I think if you were to do a survey, you would discover that people on the ground are happy with what the police at the coalface are doing.
And do you take any heart at all from the initiative launched by the interim Garda Commissioner, Noreen O'Sullivan? She has asked members of the force to answer questions about what the strengths of the organisation are, the issues that need to be addressed, what improvements should be prioritised. Now, that is going out among the rank and file and among members of your at your own level, sergeants and inspectors, looking for your views. Surely that is a good thing.
We're delighted with that. And in fact, the General Secretary, John Redmond, the President, Tim Galvin, met the Commissioner a week ago. And I think it was as a result of that meeting that perhaps this initiative has been launched. And we're delighted she's doing it. We would say that she will meet our delegates here today. We expect it and hope that she will take questions from the floor and she will get a sense of feeling from our members here today as to what the big issues are and how those issues can be addressed. We sought a meeting as an executive with the last commissioner, and he wasn't unavailable to meet us. We hope that the new commissioner will meet our executive. Our executive are drawn from our members across the country, so they know the sense of feeling and the depth of feeling and the issues that people at the coalface have, and we would relish the opportunity to bring those concerns to the commissioner and explain them to her face to face and give her the opportunity to address them.
On the face of it, she seems like a breath of fresh air. Would you be happy if she were given the job on a permanent basis?
Well, look, that's for the government to decide. And I know there's an appetite out there, or there's a sense of an appetite out there that perhaps we should open up the competition to an outsider. As I said, that's for government. But I've also said knee-jerk reactions to issues often don't deliver the best results. And another thing I'm conscious of is, you know, if we're looking at a police authority, if we're looking at a civilian commissioner, we have to be careful. Incremental change is much more readily implemented than a big bang approach. So I would again caution the government to look at what impact, you know, radical change would have on the Garda organisation and the delivery of services if we were to make significant moves in a very short time frame.
John Jacob, Deputy General Secretary of the AGSI, thank you for joining us.